Well, good morning and welcome to Duncan Road Church. Thank you all for coming to the Thanksgiving service for Joyce Hazeldine. We've been to the cemetery and we've already said farewell to her earthly body. Her soul and her spirit are with the Lord in heaven. Joyce is at home, free from suffering and pain. And she is waiting that day when, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, she will be changed. And she is looking forward to the day that Job spoke of when he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. Hey, my heart yearns within me." And to think they were written by a man many hundreds of years ago, who was absolutely confident that the God that he believed in, that he would one day, in his flesh, see God. And that's the hope of every believer. Let's pray, shall we? Commit the service to our Lord. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence with such confidence, knowing that for the believer there is a glorious hope in view. And yet just now we would lovingly ask that you enfold us and all who mourn this day with your love and compassion. Draw near to aching hearts and do not let grief overwhelm your children or turn them against you. When grief seems never ending, take them one step at a time along your road of death and resurrection. Remind us that it is through your death that we can have life. It is through the cross that we can find forgiveness and eternal life. We find reconciliation and peace everlasting. We pray that as we draw near to you, that you indeed would draw near to us and surround us with your love and comfort. We ask it all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing the first hymn on your order of service. It's "The Lord's My Shepherd." And when I spoke to Ron and the family, I said, "Well, what tune would you like? You know, because there is a new tune to this one." Crimmed. And that's the one that Joyce and the family have chosen. Let's stand to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." be seated. I guess after singing a hymn like that, there's only one reading that we can actually read, and that is Psalm 23. A psalm that has brought comfort and solace to many a dying person. And yet, the words are also read at weddings, aren't they? It's a great psalm. It's all about the sheep and the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the public reading of his word. We're going to sing again. It's the second one on the sheet. And it's a hymn, "There is a Redeemer." Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. In fact, you'll see the connection of sheep all the way through the hymns. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Let's stand to sing. Son, Colin, and he's put an appreciation together. Really, it comes from the whole family. Thank you, Colin.
Just bear with me a moment. On behalf of my dad and I, we would like to thank you all for coming today to give thanks for the life of Joyce, Mabel, Rosina, Hazeldine. I am sure you all have your own happy memories of my mum. I know I certainly do, and am appreciative of her life. I would like to share with you some of those key moments. Mum was born Joyce Mabel Rosina Hostey on the 11th of October 1921 in Portsmouth to Samuel and Rosa Hostey. She was later to be joined by her sister Brenda. Mum went to Rudmore Hall and was saved on the 18th of September 1932. Dad met Mum in Havant in 1941. At that time, Mum was working in the cheque office at the Portsmouth Cooperative. She then joined the National Fire Service at Portsmouth during the war years, rising to the position of senior woman staff officer. On the 25th of January 1956, Mum and Dad married at Bedhampton Gospel Hall and went to live at Totton. Dad joined the Hampshire Constabulary in the summer of 1946, and in 1947 they were moved to the Isle of Wight and lived at Cowes Police Station, a building with an attached house each side. A few days after moving into the police station house, they were told that when a prisoner was in the cells, any meals required by the prisoner were to be provided by the wife of the constable living in the police house. This could happen at any time, and usually once in every week. Quite a shock for Mum, but one that, as you would expect, she took in her stride. And probably that's where our cooked breakfasts started then. Mum played the piano at the Cowes meeting and assisted in Sunday school work. In 1951, Mum and Dad moved to Basingstoke, where they joined the Basingstoke meeting, and I was born on the 29th of February 1956, after, I believe, many years of trying and practice, but I arrived. I am extremely appreciative of that birth date, as I still remain a teenager, given I only have a birthday every 4 years. In 1960, we moved to Fareham and joined the fellowship of Fareham Gospel Hall, which lasted for some 50 enjoyable years until the meeting closed in recent years. In our early years at Fareham, Mum joined the ambulance car service, where she served for 30 years. The job was to use your own car and to take people to hospital for treatment, wait for them and return them home. She often spoke of the joy which was hers in doing this work and being able to comfort people on their journeys to and from hospital. Mum tells of an occasion when one morning she did not feel at all well. As usual though, she picked up her full carload of people and commenced her journey to hospital. On the way, she had to pull over, stop the car, get out, walk round to the back of the car where she was sick. Her passengers were not aware of this happening and did not realise why Mum had stopped and walked round behind the car. She then climbed back in, completed the journey and her responsibilities for the day as if nothing had happened. I also have many happy memories of accompanying Mum during those school holidays, when space permitted, on her ambulance car work. I saw at first hand the comfort and support that she gave to many people who were worried and concerned about going to hospital. But in amongst all this, she still managed to find time while waiting for patients to finish their appointments for a ball game with me in a local park. And I say local because it was usually not far from a hospital, so she could get back on time to pick them up. About 1988, Mum and Dad joined the choir at Cowplain Church, where Hazel Snook was conductor. A few years later, Mum became the piano accompanist until a few years ago when the choir closed down. During this time, the choir sang at many rest homes, meetings for the blind, gospel halls and churches within the Portsmouth area, including here at Duncan Road. During these years, Mum and Dad also belonged to the Portsmouth Chorus. In my childhood years, I have many happy memories of impromptu sing-alongs at home round the piano, with Mum taking the lead in playing the piano. Later on, she would use that talent to play the songs that the choirs would be singing, so that both her and Dad could practice their parts ahead of engagements. She took such a pride in that, and such dedication and love for her music, and she would truly appreciate the accompanists that we've had and we've got here today, because it is a service. The majority of Mum's life of 92 years has been spent serving her Lord, and as a devoted and loving wife to Dad, Mum to me and my wife Jane, Grandma to Tim and Vicky, and great-grandmother to Megan, who is sadly no longer with us, Lily and Alfie. She was loved by all. Mum was always there for me with sound advice, a kind loving word, my mentor, my confidant and my best friend. She also took me to task when I was in the wrong, and deservedly so, something that has helped me become the man I am today. Those happy memories will remain with me in my heart forever. As I look at her happy face in the photo, which was taken on her 90th birthday, along with her Bible, which she treasured and read daily and kept close to her since her teenage years, that's gone everywhere with her, Mum wouldn't want us to be sad. And I also ask you all to give thanks for her exceptional and selfless life of service. In the knowledge of one sure truth, she is now at peace with her Lord. God bless you, Mum.
Thank you, Colin, for doing that. It's not an easy task to stand up and talk about a loved one that's gone, but thank you so much. And don't we learn a lot about people that we thought we knew a lot about? Can you imagine Joyce driving? The thing is, although I've known the family for a number of years, it's only in recent years since Joyce and Ron have been coming here that you see Joyce coming through the car park and a job to get in the door, and then you hear that she, for 30 years, ferried people around to hospital. It's incredible. I wish I'd known about the the constable's house in the Isle of Wight. I would have liked to ask her what sort of meals she cooked. Probably was bread and water, but no, knowing Jewish, it was probably something a bit better. I'm sure it was. We're going to have a prayer of thanksgiving now. It's a prayer to thank the Lord for the life of Joyce. Now I know the family have got particular memories, and it's quite a poignant time. Others of you, I don't know where you come from, maybe you had connections with the choir, the K-Pain choir, or the Gospel Malvoice. You've got your own memories of Joyce. And I'm going to offer up a prayer on behalf of all of us, and then halfway through I'm going to pause, and it's the opportunity for you just to remember Joyce, to remember Mum, to remember a grandma. And maybe there's something that will come to your mind which will perhaps bring a lump to your throat, but that's fine, because we're giving thanks for the life of Joyce. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Joyce and every remembrance of her this morning. We thank you that at an early age she put her faith and trust in God and has sought to live for him throughout the years. For the Christian fellowship that she has enjoyed and the musical gift and talent she has used in your service. We thank you for the long and full life she has enjoyed, for the 68 years of marriage to Ron, and for the happy home life that Colin has enjoyed, for the joy she brought to grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and for the comfort she brought to folk on those car journeys to and from the hospital. For all this and much more, we give you our heartfelt thanks. Perhaps we can just pause and you individually can reflect and say thank you for the life of Joyce. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these precious memories and much more. Help us to cherish and remember them when dark days come upon us. We give you our praise and thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just for a few minutes, I want to bring some words of encouragement and comfort from God's Word. Joyce has left me in no doubt as to what scripture we should focus our thoughts on this morning. Our first hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd," and the last hymn, "In Heavenly Love Abiding." And one of the verses says, "Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack." And if that is not enough, we have down here her Bible, which actually is in remarkable condition for the age. It's one of those old-fashioned zip Bibles, and yeah, the zip seems it's still intact. And when Ron let me had a look at it this last week, we came to Psalm 23, and it's the only portion of scripture that is actually underlined in her Bible, and it's the last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's one other line that's been underlined, and it's the very first line of the psalm: the Lord is my shepherd. And tucked in is the, you remember the little calendar blocks that my grandmother used to have? April the 23rd. I don't know what year it is, but it's April the 23rd, the Lord's Day. The Lord is my shepherd. And it briefly there gives a message, which perhaps I can preach at some later date. I shall not want, perfect salvation. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, perfect rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters, perfect refreshment. He restoreth my soul, perfect recovery. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, perfect guidance. I will fear no evil, perfect protection. Thou art with me, perfect company. Thou preparest a table, perfect provision. Thou anointest my head, perfect consecration. My cup runneth over, perfect joy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, perfect care. I will dwell forever, perfect destiny. And also tucked in there, perhaps it was a memory verse that she had learnt at some stage, it's T. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's the verse on your hymn sheet. And it is that last verse. I'll put that down. Do please come and have a look at it later on. And it's that last verse that Joyce has underlined, and I want to speak on it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will note that the whole psalm is written from the sheep's perspective. David has actually put himself into the sheep's woolly fleece and the sheep's mindset. And we discover from the psalm that the sheep has been on a journey. There's been good times and bad times, times of correction and times of comfort. But through all, the sheep has lacked for nothing. He's enjoyed good pasture and clean water, and now he has reached the end of the journey. The sheep has reached its final destination. Yes, the sheep is back home, safe and well in the shepherd's dwelling place. Just 3 points to take away. Number one, the sheep has made a discovery. What's he discovered? He's discovered the goodness and mercy of the good shepherd. David has discovered that his God is good and merciful. I was taught at school that to discover something is to find something that has always been there, something that is just waiting to be found. And that is the goodness and mercy of God. It's always been there, but we ignore it. It's waiting to be discovered. And it's the greatest discovery that any of us can make, that God is good and he is merciful. We used to sing a chorus in Sunday school, and I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong, but it goes like this: God is good to me, God is good to me, he holds my hand, he helps me stand, God is good to me. Not only had David discovered God's goodness, David had also discovered that God is merciful. You know, grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And the chorus that probably Joyce has played many, many times, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, the chorus goes like this: mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And I'm sure there are many in our congregation this morning who could add their amens to that. That you found and embraced the mercy of God. You know, the psalmist is absolutely convinced of both the goodness and mercy of God when he says, "Surely, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life." It was a discovery he had made early on in his journey. Joyce discovered the goodness and mercy of God a long, long time ago. She made that discovery back in September 1932 at the tender age of 11 in Rudmore Hall when she was saved, when she trusted Jesus Christ to be her good shepherd. She has underlined it in her Bible, "My shepherd." You know, God is good. We're bad. And it's his goodness that can make us good. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. You know, we all enjoy a measure of the goodness of God, saved and unsaved alike. But have we all accepted and embraced God's mercy? That's a big question, isn't it? Joyce did. Secondly, the sheep enjoyed goodness and mercy all the days of their life. Excuse me, hang on for one moment. I think the sheep has conveniently forgotten the bad days, those times of danger and peril, the shadow of death, the smart of the rod. I wouldn't actually call them good days. I was brought up in a family where the rod was not spared. In my case, it was a father's hand that was not spared. At the time, those were bad times when I went to my room crying. But you know, looking back, I have no regrets. I don't hate my father. Rather, I'm thankful. I know that might sound strange in the culture in which we're being brought up at the moment, but those times have shaped me for the best. And Colin has vouched for the same with his upbringing. For Joyce, there were bad days, particularly during these last 2 years, times when it was a struggle to walk with her frame from the car into church, times when she could not face coming out and meeting people. And often I would greet her in the car park, and you could see how difficult it was for her to get out of the car and to move the frame. And she'd take a few paces and then she'd just look up to me like this, and she would smile. And that's one of the memories that I have of Joyce. There was always a smile on her face. She was experienced God's goodness and mercy all the days of her life, even through every experience. And I'm sure many of us can look back at days which were bad days. And yet through it, somehow, God has worked something for good out of those bad days. I'm sure Joyce could sing, "I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word." Perhaps today is a bad day. We know for Joyce it's not, but the psalm talks about the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. I'm so glad it just uses that word shadow. When I was a young lad of 15, I had a paper round over 100 papers. It's the richest I've ever been in those days. I could go home and I had £1.50, 30 bob in my hand, and that was tremendous. But I always remember 52 Cypress Road. And I used to go there, and it was a bungalow, and it was the front door was a wooden surround and a Flemish glass up the middle, and there was a letterbox which wasn't that way, but it was that way, and it was a nightmare to try and push the telegraph through with the Radio Times and all the rest of it. But always lurking in the shadows was a German shepherd dog. I could see him, and I thought, that's fine, I'm just a shadow, not a problem. One day I went there, and as I was putting the paper through, this giant of a dog just lurched at the window, cracked the window. Fortunately, it didn't come through. Needless to say, that was the last time I ever delivered a paper in that house. But you see, all the time he was in the shadows, it's not a problem. And yes, death is a problem. But for the Christian, death is talked about being asleep. So in that respect, it's just a shadow. The problem comes when the dog jumps through the door, isn't it? It's not a shadow. And for many, death is not a shadow. It's a very real thing. And the last point, the sheep has reached its final destination, its final dwelling place. The verse says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we can confidently say Joyce is at home. She's in the house. She's in paradise. She's in heaven. She has reached her final dwelling. She is with the Lord. And Joyce, with countless millions, is waiting for her redemption to be complete. A new body like that of her Lord and Saviour. Today is a day of grief and mourning, but let us comfort and encourage each other with these words from Thessalonians. Paul says this, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will be with the Lord forever. You know, I firmly believe that there is enough evidence in Scripture to say that we will recognise our loved ones, those who have jointly put their trust in Jesus. And Ron, you will see Joyce again, and it will be in her prime and in her beauty. Colin, you will see again an active mum, one who played ball with you in the parks. I don't think we'll be the people that we are when we die. We will be in our prime. I'm reminded in closing of the song you have sung many times, Ron, and I think there are some choir members amongst us. When you were in the Malvoice Choir, and you used to sing this, we shall ne'er say goodbye in that home of the soul. There will not have a burden or care. And when Jesus shall say, enter in with thy Lord, we'll be there. Praise the Lord. We'll all be there. That's a note of certainty, isn't it? Can we all say that with certainty? We'll be there. We'll be there on the dawn of that great day when the saints gather home. We'll be there. Praise the Lord. We'll be there. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. I trust those words will be words of comfort as you look at that psalm again in Joyce's Bible. Let's sing the last hymn on the sheet, In Heavenly Love Abiding. Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is ever dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. In Heavenly Love Abiding, let's stand to sing. Church here, thank you for coming. Now there's no need to rush away, we've got plenty of refreshments. It's dinner time, so I'm sure the stomachs are rumbling, so please stay. There is a book of remembrance, and I know the family would be really pleased if you could just sign that you've been here, okay? So if you'd like to come up the front, you can look at Joyce's Bible. You can look at the photograph and you can sign the book. Also at the back of the church is a box, and you'll see there's a label on it, and that's for donations in lieu of flowers, and if you want to put something in there, that's fine. That money will go to the Rowan's Hospice. Okay? Thank you for coming. God bless you. Let's just have the benediction, shall we? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit be our experience now, and until we see our Saviour. face to face. Amen. Thank you.